Salvation is full and fresh, spread the news all over the land and sea. Tell it afar, you better tell it afar. Praise the Lord, salvation has been brought down.
Amen, amen, and good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. God is good. You enjoying this cold weather? Yes, yes, it's cold, it's cold. I hope you don't mind me wrapping up today. I'm medicated and trying to fight a little chill, but God is still good. He is good, and we thank him for waking us up this morning to see a new day. We can come worship the Lord. They tell me that the 33,000 people are downtown running the Chevron Marathon right now. I tell you, I'd rather be in here this morning. Amen. If you are visiting with us, you're truly an honored guest, and thank you so much for being a part of our fellowship here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders will acknowledge all of the visitors at the end of our worship service. Thank you so much for tuning in. Also, those of you that's watching us by way of television, we hope and pray that we can say something that may prick your heart. If you have a question, if you need somebody to pray for you, pray with you, if you just need to talk to someone, call the number on your screen. And we're also picking up a pretty large audience of those who are live streaming our service who are unable to be here. If you go to our website, you can live stream our service, and they can actually see what you are seeing here now at worship service. And we also may the Lord bless you. Many of you are at home sick or in the hospital or just out of town, and so, but we don't want you to skip worship. If you're here and you're healthy, come on back and be with us in worship service. Amen, amen. God is good. I want to today. I know if you've been here a while in the past, I try to at the beginning of the year to give some foundational messages that will bless us, hopefully, but that will remind those of us that are already Christians that we're God's people, and especially the kingdom of God, the church of God, the church of Christ, that we do not lose our identity of who we are while we're pilgriming on this land. And so if you will, I'm going to, over the next few weeks, give some of you have been here a while. You may have heard some of this before. But you know what? There is the Bible is fresh every single day you read it. Amen. There is we never get to the point that we know everything that God would have us to do. We're trying to grow in grace and knowledge to be more pleasing to God, the God that we serve. And so I've entitled today's lesson, Everything You Want to Know About the Church of Christ. Everything you want to know about the Church of Christ. And maybe we have some seekers who are here this morning, those who are visitors, and that is wonderful. Maybe we have someone who is confused about what the Bible teaches. I just want to know what church is all about. And so hopefully this will help you. The lessons that I plan on giving are, this first one especially, is a foundation. I'm not skipping it. It will be some things that many of you have already heard that are members of the body. It's a foundational lesson. The next lesson, I don't know if I'm able to do it in 1 or 2 weeks, is on the organization. Everything you want to know about the organization of the Church of Christ. And then the final lesson or two on the practices of the church. Everything you want to know about the practices. Why we do what we do. Is there a pattern for it? Is there authority for doing what we do? And so I want you to meet with me, if you will, in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 3 and verse number 11. And I've had so many questions from different ones, and especially for our young people. Those who are in high school, those who are going to college, you will be introduced to more faiths, religions than I was when I was in college, and especially your grandmothers and grandfathers. There are more faiths, there are more beliefs, there are more teachings, there are more philosophies than there have ever been before. And so for us to have a grounded faith and understanding of what we believe and why we are even here today, here worshiping God in this place today. Listen to the book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. And I have all of these scriptures. Some of you may request some of these scriptures later as we go through this series. And you're welcome to have them. You're welcome to have even my notes if you want them. The book of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. Everybody's all right, huh?
Right.
Stay with me this morning. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus. What was in accordance with the eternal purpose which he carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord? What was in accordance with the purpose? Well, I'm reading it backwards for emphasis sake. This is verse 11. Listen to verse number 10, verse 10. So that the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, listen, through the church to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly places. It was in accordance with the eternal purpose of God. Eternal means that this was in the mind of God before our beginning, before the world was ever created. God in all of his wisdom and all of his providence and all of his wisdom had in his mind just what he wanted to do. Amen. And it was in his mind. Notice, to demonstrate to the entire world his vast, he uses the word manifold, his vast and comprehensive wisdom. And he intended before the beginning of the world for this to be done through the church. Now that's a mighty powerful statement. So we are here today as the ecclesia, as the assembly, and what we do, what we follow, what we teach demonstrates, notice, to the world the wisdom of God. And see, so we have a task. And we cannot defray from what God has instructed us to do. And so first of all, the church of Christ, the church that's in the Bible, was in God's mind before he even created Adam and Eve. The church was now I use the title everything, but I guess I should qualify that because we'd be here a long time if we're taught everything. But I want to answer some questions that individuals have, and even for those of us that are saints. The church was bought by the blood of Christ. Pay the ultimate price for the church. I mean, that's a mighty price. Listen to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, Acts 20, 28. Be on guard for yourselves and for all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. He's talking to the elders, instruction to them. To shepherd the church of God. That's what the elders are in the church to do, is to shepherd the church. A whole lesson can be taught on shepherding. Yeah, shepherd it. To shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Yeah. Jesus died for the church. Do you think the church is important to God? Yeah. Is there anything in your life right now that you would die for? Yeah, maybe your loved ones. And I say maybe your loved ones. Because to die means he gave the ultimate for the church. Notice, the church is not any one individual. And we need to understand this because now in the world we live now, folks say, well, you know what? Brooke Gary, the church is me. No, the church is not you by yourself. Jesus died for the whole world. And we are not to live on an island. God never intended for us to be on an island by ourselves and to ourselves. You see, even when you get saved, God wants you to save somebody else. Some folks say, I'm saved. I got mine. No, well, you can't have yours by yourself. Yeah, and so Jesus purchased the church with his own blood. He built the church. Jesus built the church, Matthew 16, verse 18. I also say unto you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build. That's what he said when Jesus was on the earth. I will build my church. I'm putting the emphasis on this foundation because I know everybody that's in here right now, you know, we know the importance of the church. Now, how can we be the church? How can we be the church if we devalue coming together as one in the body? Some folks say, well, I'll come whenever I get ready. I don't have to be in the worship service. No, my friend. No, my brother. No, my sister. Jesus built the church for us to be the church.
Yeah, so
Jesus built the church. Jesus Christ is the only head of the church. Jesus Christ is the only head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. He's also the head of the body, the church. The church is the body. The body is the church. Jesus Christ is the head. The Pope is not the head. No headquarters is the head. Jesus Christ. Notice this. Let me finish reading the rest of it. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will come to have first place in everything. Yeah. Jesus is head over the church. Jesus is preeminent. All things start. All authority is in Christ alone. All authority is in Christ Jesus alone. There's some good people who lived on this earth, but they do not match when it comes to Jesus. Listen to what the Bible says in Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, notice, whatever you do in word, what you're teaching, what you're saying, what you in word or in deed, what you are doing. Whether you're in worship service, whether you're at home, what you do, do all in the name of Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible said. Boy, now that's a lot of power. God wants us to consider his son Jesus before we make a decision by whatever we do. Ah, wow. Before you marry somebody, you need to consider if Jesus approves of this marriage. Lord, have mercy. Amen. Now, now we're talking about collectively, and I want to stay with this. We're talking about collectively the church. The church, Jesus says, when you do something and it involves the church, you do it by the authority of Jesus Christ. Amen, somebody. That's why, could you imagine us calling out, some people say, well, Gary, there's nothing in a name. There's nothing in a name. But don't say that. Please don't say that according to the scriptures. Can you imagine us calling ourselves St. Paul's Cathedral? No, you might say, well, brother, that's not, you know, Paul was a great man, but Paul wasn't Jesus. And in the word, see, there are decisions. Someone that's watching my way of television right now, I know you seek it. You ride around, especially in Houston, ride around, you see all kind of buildings, all kind of names, all kind of identifications. You know what the Apostle Paul said? Let me read it to you. Listen to the Bible in Colossians, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 1, 13. Paul was not crucified for you. Now this is Paul writing this to the Corinthians. Was he? It says, oh, were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius so that no one would say you were baptized, notice this, in my name. Paul says, what are you doing? Why are you being so callous? You're St. John, St. Paul, St. Peter, they are not Jesus. And so you say there's nothing in the name because you didn't die for anybody, but Jesus Christ did. Yeah. Paul says, you got to be kidding me. I'm glad I didn't put none of y'all in the water because I didn't want none of you saying. Yeah. If Martin Luther Martin Luther, who the historian who rebelled against the Catholic Church and tried to have reformation because he knew that they were not teaching what was in the Bible. If Martin Luther knew that there were churches calling, there were people calling themselves Lutheran, he would turn flips in his grave. And so what are you saying, Brother Geary? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. All authority begins and ends with him. The identifying designations of the church in the Bible. And let me say this too to us that's the Christians. You see, we use the term Church of Christ, and we capitalize the C, Church of Christ, as it's a title. But the phrase Church of Christ is a designation of our relationship with Christ. We belong. In the Bible, you will never see that C capitalized as it's just one, as it one title. You see the C small, but you see Christ capitalized. You see the C small, but you see God capitalized. And so we use the term Church of Christ in Romans 16:16, the churches of Christ. But the designations, notice, you know, everything you want to know, why we call ourselves, why we identify ourselves as the Church of Christ, why it is so important that our identity be related to Christ, God the Father, God who is Christ, Christ who is God. It is so important because that's the way they did it in the Bible. And so we want to be clear that we want to be clear that yes, our designation is that for in the Bible. It's called the churches of Christ. Romans 16:16. It's called the church of the firstborn. And that is the firstborn from the dead, never to die anymore. Speaking of Jesus Christ, that's Hebrews 12 and verse 23. It's called the church of God. And God who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. God in the flesh. In John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with us. And the Word, listen, and it says in verse number 14, John 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Jesus and God are the same. The church is identified as churches of Christ, is identified as a church of God, 1 Corinthians 1:1-2, 1 Corinthians 2:1, it's in many other places, in 2 Corinthians 1:1, Galatians 1:13, it's called the house of God, it's called the church of the living God. I'm giving you identifying names, identifying phrases that's referred to the church that's in the Bible, the kingdom of his dear son, Colossians 1:13. But in every instance, notice, in every instance, the church in the Bible is associated with the Son of God. Every instance. And so if whatever we do, and whatever we say has to be in the name of Jesus Christ, we need to start with how we identify. Amen, somebody. And you know, if I'm studying the Bible, I don't care what church I'm in. And I could be a member in that church, and I'm studying the Bible, and I see that, and I'm reading, and I'm searching, and I look at what are we called? And I bring it to question. Well, why are we called the Macedonian church? Why are we called the Antioch church? Now, notice this. Sometimes in the Bible, the church was identified as simply the church. The church at Ephesus, the church at Colossae, the church at Thessalonica. Now, Brother, you sure are being petty. No, this is foundational. See, if you are in the country and there's no church there, if you want to be pleasing to God and you say, well, I want to start a church, where are you going to start? You start with the Word of God and you do what they did in the Bible. And surely I'm not going. You say, well, we could call the church Mount Sinai, Mount Judah. Why are you doing that? Yeah, when you look at the scriptures, and so we're identified as the Church of Christ, church that belongs to Christ. We have Bible for that, and so that's where our identification, our name comes. Name is important. But just because a church has the name on it, that don't mean they're doing everything right. That's true. So true. Just because you ride down the street and you see a church that says the Church of Christ on it, don't mean it's the Church of Christ. Now that was a time that we seemed to be more unified. That was a time that we were more consistent in what we taught and our practice. That's one of the reasons why I want to do these lessons, because I want to make sure we stick to the identity in the Bible as best as we can, because there are, and some of our members, they go out of town. They say, Gary, do you know a church in so-and-so? Do you know a church in so-and-so? You know, I used to know some. But sometimes I'm very leery about saying, because some folk have gone someplace and they say, oh, this is, I don't know what this is. And you know it. Some of you have been some of those places. But one thing about it, notice this now, this is to us. See, listen, and I love this. See, the church in the Bible is autonomous in this fact. What do you mean, Brother Gary? You see, I'm the evangelist at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. Our elders are the shepherds of this one local body. And the Bible is designed, the pattern, we're going to get into it in some of the lessons. The pattern is designed where they are the shepherds, they are responsible. You go to the book of, I may later on in the year do a series on the seven churches in Revelations. Because each one of those churches are individually accountable to God. And so yes, we may have fellowship with some of the other churches. We may collaborate and do some things together. But ultimately, I'm the evangelist at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. God is going to hold me responsible for what I teach. And God is going to hold the elders responsible for shepherding this flock. Notice this. And if you are a member of this body, God is going to hold you responsible to how you behave in this body. Because when you are here, you are, as a member, you are accountable, first of all, to God, but you are also accountable to the shepherds of this church. And so we want to get this thing right. And we want to make sure we're doing it God's way. And so that's why we're going to use Bible names to identify us. Now for some of us, we could be called the Church of God. Why? Because that's a Bible name. Amen. And I know we've been called the Fifth Ward Church of Christ for a long time. The Fifth Ward is just the location where we are. We have Bible for that. Fifth Ward is just the location. But notice this, the emphasis is on Christ. Yeah, we have churches, we have many churches of Christ in Houston. And so that does need to be a distinction. So people would know what church to go to or to be a part of, you know. And so we are the Church of Christ. Now, I had one brother ask me one time, y'all need to change your name to the Midway Church because y'all right in the middle of the city. I said, well. Now, he don't go here. He don't go here. I tell you, you know what you need to do? You need to mind your business. I mean, it might be a good idea for other people, you know, Midway, but he just was saying it might be more enticing for people to come. I said, no, we got a bunch of folk in Fifth Ward. We've been to Church of Christ. Now, one thing we need to be careful about is us emphasizing the Fifth Ward. Because sometimes when we out, we talk, where do you go to church? The Fifth Ward. See, it's not about Fifth Ward. Amen. This is just a location. We are the Church of Christ in Fifth Ward. Amen. Amen. So let's remember where the emphasis should be is on we are the church that belongs to Christ. Make no bones about it. But here, you all on that name. That name ain't that important. I know you're going to make up your own mind. But when you keep studying the scripture, and you see whatever you do, brother, whatever you do in word, that's what you're saying. That's what you're talking. And indeed, do all. When we baptize in the name. Because that's where all power, Bible says that the Lord gave all, Jesus said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. Matthew chapter 28. All the power. And God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen. Amen. So yes, we overemphasize that. Now, I'm going to try to end on time. Now, the entrance into the church comes only after teaching and preaching. The only way you can become a member of the churches in the Bible is through teaching and preaching. That's God's way. That's God's plan. That's how he designed. And listen to these passages. Boy, I had so many. Mark 16:15. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. That's what he said to his apostles. Preach the gospel. It's through preaching. And you know, some people now, some people don't like too much preaching. And I know, I guess sometimes it depends on who's preaching, huh? The world, now we have, especially, I'm not harping on the millennials, but, we are competing with so many different things, and the digital age, and entertainment, and how we interact, but listen, if somebody's going to be saved, the gospel has to be preached. Or taught. So there has to be a quiet moment. There has to be a time. There has to be a segment that the person's mind is clear to be able to hear the word of God. And that's how God planned it. Listen to Acts chapter 5, verse 42. Acts 5:42. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they kept right on teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That's how it was done in the first century. No, listen, I know, I like it when we go to church and they have those fellowships and all those things. And that's just nice because people like coming to things like that's good. And you know we do. We have many ministers tonight. We have activity night. I was supposed to announce Bible hours going on earlier. I forgot. But we have activity night. And we're going to fellowship. Many of us come back together that haven't seen each other. We're going to eat and play games. And that's beautiful. Because, even in the Bible, it says, and the church continued in doctrine and teaching and fellowship. It's important for us to fellowship. Now, fellowship is communing together. It's talking together. It's not necessarily in Bible class. But you cannot omit teaching the gospel. Yeah, we fellowship, but somebody, some kind of way, if a person is going to be saved according to the scripture, there has to be a time that you come out of the fellowship and you go into the teaching mode. Amen. 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 And so we encourage all of our ministers here at the church, whatever we do, it's all, if a person, we're seeking and saving the lost. We're trying to mature us as saints, but we're always seeking. We're always recruiting. We're always trying to find moments. We had an individual call me yesterday after the funeral. We had a Bible class a few weeks ago. He called me after the funeral, and I was going to the hospital to see my daughter. And he said, "But Gary," he said, "I've been looking at some of those scriptures you gave me, and I've been studying with my wife." And he said, "I think I'm ready to be baptized." I said, "You ready right now?" He said, "Well, I'm just getting off of work." He said, "I'm just getting off of work. I need a time to get myself together." I said, "Is 8 o'clock good for you?" He said, 8 o'clock is good. And so at 8 o'clock last night, well, actually it was about, I got here a little early. He was here early. I called Brother Gift, Brother Barry. I said, Brother Barry, I forgot I left my keys. I didn't have my keys. I said, oh, my goodness, I don't have my keys. Okay, Brother Barry, can you meet me at the church building? I got somebody want me. He said, what? Well, I'll be there. I got here, Brother Barry was here. And Brother Kyrie Long, Sister Kelly Spriggs Long's husband, was baptized last night at 8 o'clock. Isn't that wonderful? Now, notice this. Now, he'd been attending. He'd been faithful. He'd been attending. He'd been listening. But he wanted a clearer understanding. And I admire anybody who seeking, who don't just make rash decisions, because once you make the commitment, you need to stick to it to the end. Because that's what the reward is for those that endure to the end. So you need to know what you're doing. And so we now notice this. We're blessed because we have many men and women who can teach the pure gospel. And don't underestimate. Listen. This is no bragging at all, but a lot of churches have gotten away from teaching the gospel. No, one-on-one, even from the pulpit. I go to some congregations and they don't even extend the invitation for somebody to be baptized. And so for somebody may be watching by way of television, you're at home and the word has been stirring you, but you have still not completed your obedience. And they just kept teaching and kept preaching. Notice this, let me read a little bit further. It says in Acts chapter 8, verse 12, Acts 8, 12. But when they believed Philip preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. And see, the kingdom of God is his church. Notice this. They preached the church and Jesus. See, some folk want Jesus. Well, Gary, I got Jesus. You can't have Jesus without his church. Notice this. You don't forget this. Jesus built the church. He died for the church. And now you're going to omit the church? No. Well, Gary, there's so many heathens in the church. It's crazy folk in the church. I had a guy tell me that. He went, yeah, man, I've been to them churches, man. The church people crazy. Is that true? I guess he did have a point. Not our church. because sometimes we do act up, don't we? But that's life, isn't it? What organization? What job? Notice this. What family don't have some dysfunctional folk in it? Amen. And some jobs, some families have more than others. But the church is where the salvation is. And it's what Jesus died for. And now we were sick when he died for us. We're trying to get well. And say, stop blaming everybody else. And sometimes all we simply need to do is look in the mirror. Many times it starts with us. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. 1 Corinthians, as I race to a close. For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. No, notice this. Now, you know, it's some smart people in this world. And, you know, people give you all kind of philosophies and reasons. And well, you know, they're searching for things and they don't know what they're talking about. You folk will give philosophies about life and there's life on another. I was talking to one guy. He told me, you know, there's life on other planets. I didn't laugh. I say you. I know it. He said, "You know there got to be." I said, "Well, I don't know that now." I said, "You know it? Oh yeah, oh yeah." And of course, you know, I asked him. I said, "Well, how you know?" He said, "Well, just think about this." He said, "You know that you know we've flown to the moon, we flown to in the universe, and they took pictures, and they got pictures. You know, Saturn, all those planets. You can't tell me ain't somebody living on them planets. See, we're not talking about guessing about anything. And we use our own minds, and we create stuff in our minds, and God already gave it to us in his word. Notice what this is what he says. See, he calls it the foolishness of preaching, not that preaching is foolishness, but to people who don't want to hear it and don't want to believe. Oh, man, sometimes you might get teased sometimes. Somebody, man, you believe in that stuff? You still holding on to that Bible stuff, that preaching stuff? And God is just, it's just God's word coming true. It's foolishness to them, but to those of us that believe it is the word of God. And we stand on it. And those, notice this, and those that will be saved will humble their spirits, admit that you don't know everything, you surely don't control everything. And it is the preached word that still saves a person's soul. And so we're going to preach it. And we're going to preach it. We're going to always extend the invitation in this church of Christ for somebody to be saved. Because that is how you enter into the church of Christ. Listen to Acts chapter 8 and verse 40. Acts 8:40. But Philip found himself at Azotus, and as he passed through, he kept preaching the gospel to all the cities until he came to Caesarea. Acts 14:21. After they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they turned to Lystra and to Iconium. The gospel message. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks, to the Gentiles. And so the brothers read in your hearing the scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9. I'm going to end with it. Who had saved us, called us with a holy calling. You know the gospel is what calls us. It calls us out of the world. You know. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4. There is one body, one spirit. Notice, even as you are called. And one hope of your calling. That's what the gospel does. It calls us out of the world. It called the gospel message. Jesus came, he lived, he died on the cross for all of our sins. He's coming. That message. God wants us to respond to his message. And it calls. He says this. He says, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus. Remember, all authorities in Christ. All efforts that we is in Christ. Christ built the church. It starts with Christ from all eternity. Verse 10. But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And it's the gospel that saves us. It's the gospel that puts us into Jesus Christ. It's our obeying the gospel that puts us into the church of Christ. The church that belongs to Christ. I'm gonna make this as simple as I can. Because I know some of you want me to get on the organization and the practices of the church, but this is probably the primary difference that differentiates many of the faiths, is how a person becomes a member of the church of Christ. And you need to know this one. Those of you that's been here for a while, you've heard this before. But see, in order for you to be a member of the church of Christ, it starts with the word of God and hearing the word. See, and that's the preached message. And so faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Whether somebody sits down in a one-on-one with you, whether you hear it from the pulpit, it starts with the message is not complicated. What do you mean, Brother Gary? You don't see, some of us think you have to know the whole Bible in order to be saved. You don't need to know the whole Bible in order to be saved. You just need to obey the gospel. That's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 28, he told his apostles, he says, go ye therefore and teach all the names, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. He said, then teaching them, notice this, baptize them and then keep on teaching. And so that's why we have Bible classes. That's why we have midweek services. That's why we have Sunday evening services, because we're trying to give the church as many opportunities as they can to learn about God. Those who want to learn, those who want to mature. God don't make anybody do anything, and our elders can't make you either. Amen, somebody. But it starts with hearing. And we're so appreciative that everybody, you seem to be so attentive. I know you're not on your phones. I know you're not thinking about your bills. You're listening to the word of God. Amen. You see, this is, and some of us have been in the church a while. Sometimes we forget that we get callous. You know, some people are on the edge. This might be the last time. Yesterday we had a funeral. And you know, at funerals, it might be the only time you get to teach somebody the gospel. You got to believe with all your heart. I'm telling you how to enter the church of Christ. The church is in the Bible. You got to believe with all your, notice, with all your heart. Undeniable that Jesus came, he lived, he died. That was a true fact. Amen. And he's coming again. Amen. According to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. And so you must believe that. You know, there's some good people. There's some good books you might read. Gandhi was good, but he wasn't Jesus. Amen. I like to read self-help books. I like to read biographies about men who did wonderful things, powerful things. But most of the people that did powerful things, they also had some sneaky stuff going on too. And if you get down really into their life, Martin Luther King was a powerful man. He did a lot for the world, didn't he? Yes. Martin had some problems. Martin ain't going to get you in the pearly gates of heaven. Amen, somebody. So we honor them, but they are just a man. Jesus lived, died, and sin now. Nobody can replace you. That's why he must have first place in everything. You got to repent of your sins. See, you got to repent of your sins. Now, this is where we start diverging from other faiths. See, there are some who would teach that you just believe in Jesus Christ. He's a son. Receive him in your heart. Or sometimes they might say, pray a sinner's prayer. There ain't no sinner's prayer in the Bible. I'm excusing my language. You realize that? You watching my way of tears. There's no sinner's prayer in the Bible. That's just the truth of God's word. And so the Bible says the very first time the gospel, the pure gospel was preached, it was so powerful. Peter and the rest of the apostles preached to all those people, and many of them heard it, and it cut their heart, the scriptures say, and asked the question, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter told them, the first thing he said was repent. Yes. That means change your mind about sin. Now, a lot of times people don't want to talk about sin anymore. That means change your mind. You don't want to live that kind of life. No, you don't want to. You know, you're cheating on your wife. You're stealing from your job. Why you got to go there? Because that's something that's transgression against God's word. Call wrong, wrong. Amen. If you're struggling with something, that's one thing. But don't call it right. Well, Gary, I got homosexual tendencies. Call it what it is. But your mind about it is, I want to do God's will. That's Bible. That's why the church. That's why. Did you realize the churches of Christ in around? We have literally the numbers are about less than 2 million worldwide. I don't know if our members knew that. That's worldwide. That's a small number. It really is. You know, and I'm telling you. I don't know if something. I don't know if people. People can't handle the truth. They don't want the truth. They think we are narrow. But I believe there's a scripture in the Bible that says, broad is the way that leads to destruction. And then it says, many there be. And narrow is the way. So if anything, you need to narrow your thinking. To stay with the word of God, amen, somebody. And so before you, you're not saved yet. You're not saved yet. You heard the word. You believe it. You're not saved. You're not in the church of Christ. Because there's something else you got to do. The Bible said the devils believe and tremble, James 2:19. Devils are scared. And you know, the devils, a lot of times, they do more than some of us do. They are afraid. Sometimes we live like we're not scared of nothing. So you repent of your sins. And see, don't run because you got to repent. Well, see, I ain't ready. I wish you knew some of the things we struggling in, as Christians, we struggling with right now. See, you want to do it on your own. You think you can fix it. You can't fix nothing. You better get the blood on you. That blood will fix you. So you repent, you change your mind about it. Say, look, I'm turning this over to God. God, I'm giving this to you. And you can't be ashamed you're a Christian. Right. Jesus, when he was on this earth, he said in Matthew 10:32, he says, whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. And confess is an acknowledgement. It's an acknowledgement with your mouth. You're not ashamed. I confess before my Father which is in heaven. If you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father which is in heaven. So you can't be a secret Christian. There's no such thing as I'm going to get baptized, but I ain't telling nobody. Excuse me? You're not ready. No, you're not ready. We need to work on you some more. Now. And then the scriptures tells you, you must be baptized in water for the forgiveness of all your sins. Now, when you do that, you do your part, God going to do his part. And so beautiful in Acts 2:47 that God adds us to the church. He adds some translations to the number daily. God adds you, adds me to the church. Now, the church in the Bible, there's only one church in the Bible. Now, we mentioned the names that it was called. Ephesians 4:4 says there's one body. Colossians 1:18 says he's the head of the body, the church. Ephesians 1:22-23. There is only Christ is the head of the church. So God adds you, adds me to the church, the only church, one church. When we get baptized, we are to be members of that church. And so we teach that. That's how we teach a person to be saved. And so see, because we want to make our calling and election absolutely sure. Amen. Amen. So maybe there's someone here right now who needs to be baptized. And you too, but Gary, I still some things I don't understand. Well, some things somebody in the church right now, they don't understand. But you get baptized, you get saved, and you keep learning, and you keep coming, and you keep learning. You're going to grow in grace and knowledge. But you need to get covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Because it cleanses us from all. It says it cleanses. It keeps on cleansing us from all of. Anybody want to be a member of the church of Christ? Of the church of God? Of the kingdom of God? Of the kingdom of his dear son? Anybody want to be a member today? You've heard how you become a member. Won't you come right now as we stand?
When the Savior called, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear him. When the Savior called, I will answer. I'll be somewhere listening for my name. Oh,
yes, I'll be somewhere.
Listen.
Oh, I'll be somewhere.
Listening.
I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name. Yes, I'll be somewhere.
Listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere.
Listening.
I'll be somewhere. Listening for my name.
If my heart is dry.
When he calls me,
if my heart is right,
I will hear him.
Yes, if my heart is right,
when he calls me,
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Oh, I'll be somewhere.
Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening.
I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening. I'll be somewhere listening.
I'll be somewhere
listening for my name. If my robe is white when he calls me, if my robe is white, I will hear him. If my robe is white when he calls me, I'll be somewhere listening for my name.
Oh, yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
Yes, I'll be somewhere
listening.
Oh, I'll be somewhere
listening.